Hello everyone, my name is Natalie Ball and the title of this podcast is The Faces of Eugenics, Past, Present, and Future. This discussion will explore the transformation of eugenics over time with a focus on its implication for people with disabilities. Eugenics is the practice of improving the heritable qualities in humans by eliminating undesirable genes and promoting the propagation of desirable traits. The term was first coined by Francis Galton, a British scholar, in 1883, and the practice became popularized throughout the early 20th century in Western countries. It included sterilization of criminals, people with certain disabilities and diseases, as well as positive eugenic propaganda, which encouraged people of good stock to reproduce. The term eugenics fell out of favor after World War II, but the practice of bettering the human gene pool through other means still persists. For example, we rarely use forced sexual sterilization procedures today, but we screen for unwanted genes using technologies such as prenatal screening and pre-implantation genetic diagnosis. Positive eugenics is increasingly carried out through technologies such as germline genetic interventions, including genetic enhancement. Down the road, we will be able to combine the building of genomes, known as the field of synthetic biology, with the artificial womb to have the holy grail of eugenics as we simply design genomes from scratch. We've seen a shift in the application of eugenic principles from government-sanctioned activity to personal choice based on ability preferences. However, the overall goals of eugenics have not changed, and eugenic practices continue to reinforce the belief that people with disabilities are somehow worth less than the non-disabled. It is important to realize that eugenics is not merely a phenomenon of the past. It is a cutting-edge topic, and the future abilities to control genomes will increase the push for normalizing abilities, which will make the lives of disabled people even more challenging. As a part of the Living Archives of Eugenics in Western Canada project, we conducted a media analysis of eugenic portrayals from six different sources. These sources included two newspapers, the New York Times and the Globe and Mail, and a peer-reviewed medical journal. These sources were used to identify eugenic arguments and create a timeline of the appearance of different arguments. As well, we used three disability studies journals, including Disability in Society, Disability Studies Quarterly, and Review of Disability Studies, which were used to compare the portrayals from the former three sources with a disability studies perspective. We focused on three eugenic practices that roughly represented the past, present, and future of eugenics. The first was sexual sterilization, the second was genetic counseling, and the final was human enhancement. Using various keyword strategies, a total of 713 articles pertaining to these practices underwent thematic analysis. Specifically, we looked for arguments that supported or discouraged eugenic practices. The arguments do not necessarily represent the opinions of the authors of the articles, but were identified to investigate and compare what arguments pertaining to eugenics have been portrayed from various perspectives. A complete account of our methods and a more detailed explanation of our results are detailed in portrayals of and arguments around different practices, past and present, in the 12th volume of the International Journal of Disability, Community, and Rehabilitation. We found a number of arguments supporting and discouraging eugenic practices. For the articles pertaining to sexual sterilization, the most popular arguments supporting this practice were that sterilization would stop the supposed decline of human stock, it would prevent unnecessary suffering of the so-called unfit, it would save society money in the long run, it would protect society from the supposed harms caused by unfit individuals, and it would lower rates of disease. The most popular arguments going against sexual sterilization were that sterilization is immoral, it ignores the impact that the environment could have on so-called unfitness, and that not enough is known about the value and validity of sexual sterilization in order to justify its use. The primary arguments supporting genetic counseling were that it would prevent suffering, save money, lower disease, and that it could help to achieve a, quote, perfect or designer human. The main arguments against genetic counseling were that the process of genetic counseling is discriminatory or further perpetuates discrimination, that it is immoral, it violates the rights of the parents or unborn fetus, and that people may feel coerced into using genetic counseling. Arguments for using human enhancement included that it could be used to achieve a perfect human, it could be used to keep up with competition, and to lower rates of disease. The main arguments against human enhancement were that the enhancements could be physically dangerous, it could cause discrimination, and that those in control of enhancement technologies could abuse that power. We found that certain arguments were discussed less as time went on, such as the idea that eugenics would reduce rates of crimes and reverse so-called dysgenic trends, meaning that trends towards a supposedly lower caliber of human. However, there were several arguments that persisted from the early 20th century until today. The idea that eugenics could prevent suffering, save money, eradicate disease, and help us to achieve the so-called perfect human appeared in the early sterilization articles and continued through to today. Most of the arguments against eugenic technologies have remained the same, namely that eugenics is generally immoral or unchristian, the value of eugenic technologies has not been proven, eugenics causes or perpetuates discrimination, eugenic technologies are not well enough understood to be justified, or that eugenics does not focus enough on the impact that the environment can have on traits. The arguments supporting eugenics tend to paint a clear picture that those who fall into the so-called unfit group are suffering, too expensive, and ought to be, quote, fixed or prevented. Such a message is obviously problematic. Assuming that everyone who is seen as unfit suffers more than the fit, and that they are costing too much money for the public is dangerous. Such an assumption devalues their lives and can endanger them, as has been witnessed during eras of mass sterilization or killing of disabled people. As such, eugenics has a particularly large impact on disabled people. Given this knowledge, it is interesting to note that only 8 of 618 articles from the Canadian Medical Association Journal, the Globe and Mail, and the New York Times had the perspective of someone with a disability or an advocate for disabled people. Additionally, the continuous presence of the idea that eugenics should be used so that we can create the, quote, perfect baby or human exemplifies the feeling held by some that we ought to continue to improve our genetic material and that certain deficiencies should not be tolerated. Particularly in the genetic counseling articles, it was clear that many parents felt pressure to have a perfect or designer baby and that they felt that genetic testing or counseling could help them achieve this goal. For example, a New York Times article revealed that many genetic counselors were facing demands for amniocentesis on the basis of having a, quote, beautiful baby or a perfect child, end quote. Furthermore, we found a few differences between the disability studies and non-disability studies related sources regarding the arguments around eugenics. For example, the disability studies perspective acknowledged that eugenics may have been used as a tool to gain power, which was unmentioned in the newspapers in the Canadian Medical Association Journal. In terms of the arguments against eugenic ideology or technologies, the most common argument found against the use of eugenic technologies from a disability studies perspective was that eugenics threatens the lives and well-being of disabled people. This argument was only found twice in the articles from the newspapers in the Canadian Medical Association Journal. Other common arguments from a disability studies perspective, such as that eugenics oppresses the disabled and devalues their lives, were barely visible in the more mainstream literature. The oppression of disabled people was mentioned only once within this literature, and the devaluation of life for people with disabilities were mentioned only 4 times. To conclude, I want to reiterate that there are a number of assumptions being made about disabled people in the media and the Canadian Medical Association Journal, which makes it essential that disabled people can get their views on the topic. Greater exposure to people with physical or genetic variations could possibly help to shift some of the problematic but persistent arguments for, quote, bettering those considered to be unfit, such as that they always suffer or are too expensive for society to support. The disability studies journals naturally had greater visibility and consideration of disabled individuals. However, as technology continues to advance, we need to consider that new forms of eugenics will appear and that who is affected might shift. As enhancements become available, it will no longer be only the so-called below normal or marginalized who are targeted for change. Because enhancements are aimed at bringing the user to an above normal level of performance, enhancements can impact everyone. The average could quickly become the below average if they choose not to or cannot afford to use enhancements while others do. Therefore, enhancements present an opportunity for disabled people and disability studies scholars for an inclusive discussion about eugenic goals and their consequences, given that there is not a clear-cut we versus others anymore. Therefore, we hope that more articles covering emerging and future possible forms of eugenics will show up in disability studies journals, and that disability studies scholars and activists will take the lead in to come eugenic discussions.